Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the incendiary Egyptian-born Muslim cleric Abu Hamza al-Masri and four other terrorism suspects were extradited from the United States or to the United States from Britain over the weekend. They are being held here in Manhattan and in New Haven, Connecticut, and will be arraigned tomorrow. This after an eight-year battle in European courts over whether they could be extradited to the United States. But this time, at least so far, no outcry about trying them here. Joining us now is WNYC's contributing editor for politics and investigations, Bob Henley, to remind us who these guys are and explain the significance of this extradition and trial. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
So remind us who al-Masri is and why the United States is prosecuting him.
Well, Abu Hamza al-Masri, as you said, was known for fiery sermons that he gave at the Finsbury Park Mosque in North London. He was in jail for several years in London and was convicted. And this phrase is interesting because it gives you insight into how their Great Britain's terror laws differ from ours. He was convicted of soliciting murder and inciting racial hatred. There was the other two men that came to New York, Adel Abdel Bari, 52, a citizen of Egypt, and Khalid Al-Fawaz, 50, a citizen of Saudi Arabia. They were charged for those two U.S. embassy bombings in 1998 in Kenya and Tanzania that was just devastating. 224 individuals died and thousands were injured. So they're really two separate cases. As far as Hamza, because his name is shorthanded to that, what he is specifically accused of doing is masterminding kidnappings of Americans in Yemen, kind of drafting plans for a terrorist camp in all places, Bly, Oregon, and then also for what the prosecutors are calling supporting, quote, violent jihad in Afghanistan in 2000 and 2001. So certainly he's a global player.
We all remember the controversy over the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed trial and whether it should happen in a military or a civilian court, and here in New York in civilian court to boot. Why didn't this go to a military tribunal?
Well, first of all, these individuals were not in Guantanamo. And you may remember that that was the controversy. A candidate, Obama, had pledged to wind down Guantanamo and bringing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to Lower Manhattan for trial when Attorney General Holder suggested it was seen as really following up on that. And so Congress had really tripwired legislation so that they had the power to prevent that from happening. These individuals were enmeshed in European courts and particularly in Great Britain in a controversy back and forth. So this way the Obama administration can pursue its agenda, its stated agenda, to try to use when it can civilian law enforcement as a way to get accountability for global terrorism.
And are the people who generally argue in favor of terrorism trials to happen in military courts, are they objecting that this is happening in civilian court? Is that debate reignited?
Not so far. I mean, I think it was done so quickly that it really didn't get traction. I asked, Commissioner Kelly last night what the difference was, because you may remember leading up to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, discussion of him being tried in New York, the NYPD talked about additional checkpoints, numbers surfaced like $200 million in additional overtime. And I asked Commissioner Kelly what the difference was, and he just basically said to me that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was such a prime figure in the September 11th conspiracy, he referred to him as the master planner, that there was a whole different emotional profile here. And, of course, KSM would have been so close to that trial, would have been so close to the scene of the crime. But there has been, that I've detected, any local community upset about it. I mean, Catherine McVeigh-Hughes, who's the new community board one chair, pointed out that on any given day in the Southern District, and many listeners may not be aware of this, a regular rogues gallery of alleged narco-terrorists from around the world and arms dealers parade through the Southern District with no fanfare.
And so if convicted, they'd be in a U.S. maximum security prison for life? And then and then would we see members of Congress and others objecting, as they have in the past, to having to house Masri in their backyards and at their expense?
I have not heard anything about that going forward. I mean, what is curious is that looking at the arc of this debate, you do see a candidate Obama who is talking about restoring America's image in the world in terms of getting away from the extrajudicial things that had been in play during the Bush presidency. Over the arc of the tenure of the president, we see him now using drone strikes, which are certainly extrajudicial, where he actually has a kill list, and even it includes potentially American citizens. So there's quite a range here of the Obama administration in terms of how they want to pursue the war on terrorism. And what's interesting is that this has not really been an issue in the presidential campaign, even though it continues to demand billions of dollars and all kinds of lost opportunity costs. We really haven't discussed about how are we going to continue to prosecute the war on terrorism more than 10 years after 9/11.
And Romney is giving a major foreign policy address today. We'll see how specifically he goes there. But this extradition battle from the UK was really over the balance between national security and civil liberties, and has been going on for 8 years in the case of Hamza. What's the argument the United States has been making for why he should be tried here rather than in Britain? And why did the European Court of Human Rights finally allow this extradition? Did something change?
Well, I think that there was also health concerns, because Hamza is a double amputee, allegedly from a bomb blast, and also is blind in one eye, and there were significant health issues involved there. I think ultimately it was a situation where the crimes that the United States is alleging are separate and were not tried, and so the U.S., I think, made a compelling case that this was the venue to have it done in. And I think the other thing, too, is that as long as Gitmo exists as this other parallel universe, the international legal community is going to want to reinforce, if you will, the United States going through the civilian court criminal prosecution where possible.
And why Connecticut for the other suspects? These are people charged in the 1998 U.S. Embassy bombings in Tanzania and Kenya. Why New Haven, Connecticut?
Well, there must be some nexus there. I mean, what we saw there, those two defendants, Sila Tala Hassan, 33, and Babar Ahmad, 38, they pleaded not guilty to the charges, including conspiracy to recruit fighters, raise money, and gather equipment for terrorists on websites hosted out of Connecticut. So that's the link again.
So rights activists are worried that American courts will demand jurisdiction in other cases and let British courts off the hook for prosecuting these cases?
Well, I think that really what is going on here is where is the essential stand of the Obama administration as they approach their second term, and to how are they going to pursue the war on terrorism? There is a lot of concern that actually the use of drones may be a recruiting tool, because everything that man makes has some flaw in it, and there's always a chance that you could kill innocent bystanders and create the kind of collateral damage that creates a cycle of violence that ends up in the things that blow back at the U.S.
WNYC's Bob Henley, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Well, happy Columbus Day, everybody, and after a break, we will talk about a new public art project that makes visitors to a Christopher Columbus statue look him in the eye and imagine a conversation. Stay with us.